Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you again this day. Speak to our hearts, your Holy Spirit. How thankful we are for your word of truth. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would turn in your hymnals to 427, we are going to be, as we speak to fighting and quarreling, we're going to kind of be looking at the dark side of the church. So, I thought we would sing this song to remind us before we step into that. It's a necessary place. It's a good place to address necessary things, but not maybe the most positive topic. So let's sing 427 and let God remind us who we are. With our lips let us sing one confession, with our hearts let to one truth alone. For he has erased our transgressions, claimed us and called us his own, his very own. We're the people of God, called by his name, called from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ Jesus the Son. We're the people of God, called by his name, called from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ Jesus the Son. That's us, people of God. I'm going to talk about carpet. Now, I know I can talk about carpet. Can you see me? I know I can freely talk about carpet because carpet never causes any disputes in the church. There's never any fighting and quarreling over the type of carpet or the color of carpet or anything. So I just thought I'd share a little bit about carpet this morning. I like Berber carpet. Does anyone else here like Berber carpet? Yeah, it's I really, Berber carpet colors, there's some very interesting things. What color is Berber carpet? Well, that depends. Many Berber carpets come in an off-white color with flecked dark spots. Some people unknowingly associate this unique coloring as part of Berber. In reality, it's not. Berber carpet just describes the weave of the carpet. In other words, the looped textured appearance is the only standard with Berber carpet. And then it goes on, talks about the multicolored fleck appearance, comes in multiple shades, and off-white is, I think I like the off-white. In fact, I was thinking, why don't we just put Berber carpet down in here? Don't you think that's a good idea? And And I'm thinking, and well, of course I didn't ask you because, I mean, my opinion's the only one that matters, right? I mean, that's kind of how we roll as humans, isn't it? Again, you know, there's no, you know, the fighting and quarreling issue that we're going to be addressing a little bit later. But I was thinking it's that speckled and that it just looks, and it's so calming and what a worshipful atmosphere. I was thinking while we're putting it down, why not just cover the whole floor? You know what I mean? Well, and to do that, we got to have the pews out so we could get new pews and get it looking really nice in here. I mean, we could really do some modern stuff. And who knows what else improvements we might want to do in the church if we just thought about getting new Berber carpet. Did you know there was a fist fight on the front lawn of the Faith Fellowship Church? No, this is true. Fist fight, the pastor and one of the board members. Thankfully, it was a Faith Fellowship Church in a different state. All these guys are bigger than me. But there was. I actually candidated at that church. Fist fight. I mean, fists. Not arguing. Not just getting mad and blowing off steam. Front lawn at the church. How do those things happen? Let me leave something else to you. This one's in your study notes. The modern Catholic and Episcopalian liturgies contain a pleasing segment in their worship called passing the peace. It requires that one shake hands with those around him and sincerely say, "Peace be with you." Let's just try that. See if this is any good. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Isn't that good? Peace be with you. Yeah, there you go. Leaf rolled right with that. Peace be with you. That could be meaningful, can it? Well, maybe not so much. Requires you say, "Peace be with you." The other responds, "Peace be with you." This new tradition is a nice touch, but it can have problems. The people of one small New York congregation found it beyond their limits. They could not bear shaking hands with people to whom they bore lifelong grudges. So they fired the priest, found a new one sympathetic to their needs. See why we sang "People of God"? To remind us who we are. James chapter 4, verse 1, if you'd like to turn there. I believe Faith Fellowship Church of Tennessee, Illinois, we've got the right stuff going. Hearts willing to hear God, to be shaped and formed people of faith. But we don't have all the right stuff going, do we? And we're just as vulnerable as anyone else. James asks a question in James chapter 4, verse 1. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions or your desires or your pleasures are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. We ask from our own motive, wrong motives. You adulterous people, you do not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us, but he gives more grace? Therefore, it said, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If there's fighting and quarreling without, if you're fighting, if you're quarreling, it doesn't matter how you dress it up. It doesn't matter what kind of a pretty face you try to put on it. If you're fighting and quarreling without, there's a war going on within. sometimes we read these words, whether it's passion or whether it's desires. I think some of your Bibles might even have lust there. And we're thinking all these unordinary things, these things that, oh, these really drastic bad sins. But that's not what it's talking about. Of course, it would include those. But it's talking about these desires that we have. See, we all have legitimate desires. We all have legitimate this thirst. We were created to enjoy God. We were created to enjoy His creation. We were created to enjoy one another. You think God didn't have that in mind when He created Eve? I mean, who better to shape and form your mate than God? Today, we're created to enjoy one another, but we do fight and quarrel, don't we? Now, what we also do is sometimes we excuse ourselves when we fight and quarrel. Now, that's a mistake. Because, see, we're not going to address the problem. Now, you'll see in your I've titled this message, Fighting, Quarreling, and the Pursuit of Happiness. Really, when you break a lot of these things down and you follow James's argument here, and we take it in the context of human, fallen, sinful human beings, is we have this scenario that if this could work out, if only these things would fall in place, I would be happy. I would find pleasure. I would find joy. You know, the thing that's at the bottom of this with most people, if you're struggling with this, it's with everyone, is that we don't know where joy is located. We don't know where pleasure is. Psalm 16:11, the Lord says, you will show me, or the psalmist says to the Lord, you will show me the path of life. And I've got to read it. Because I hesitated. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. See, when we know where our joy is, it's just the same thing of if our treasure and our heart, where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. We have looked to the wrong things to bring us fulfillment and significance and satisfaction. And we think, if only I could get this to work. And unfortunately, there have been church splits over not even replacing the carpet, but just deciding the color of the carpet. By the way, don't you think these shades, if we got black shades, that would be better than these? I'm messing with you now. I see that. No, sister. I don't either. Just little humor about that to maybe bring a barrier down so we can think of how important this is. Because I believe you, as much as I do, want to bring honor in our fellowship in 2016. We want to be... that we can be, even folks, that we can be praiseworthy of holy God Almighty. Does that ever just grip your soul that you even have that capability now because of what Jesus Christ has done for us? And we want to do that, but there will be a battle. If there's a battle without, there's a battle within. Now, I tried to think through a scenario and picture, okay, Can I say that without qualification? Would there be some circumstance where there's a battle without, there's a fighting and quarreling, that there wasn't the war within? You know, James addresses that. I can't think of any scenario. I can't think of any exception to that, that if there's a battle without. So why do I say that? Well, that helps you then. If you're a fighter, if you're a quarreler, If there's always some contention, then that helps you identify there's not peace here. You're discontented. You're discontented. It's too easily other people can ruin your day. because we're looking. James is going to write, well, he writes down here in verse 4, he says, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God?" See, we can speak very spiritual things. We can speak very religious things, but we find out really where our alliances are. We really find out, where do I find life? Where do I find significance? Where do I find fulfillment? See, that's what this friendship with the world here is talking about. That if we have it, that we've got to get all our ducks in this earth, we've got to get all our ducks in a row, all in order, all the T's crossed and I's dotted, then as the expression, well, I can't say that expression. Something to do with Wheaties, and some of you are familiar with it, but I probably shouldn't. You know what I'm talking about. Somebody can do things. They can target. I see that curious look too. I'll just get right away from all of that. But people can upset. They can take our joy because our joy is in the wrong place. Our pleasure is in the wrong place, where our desire, where we're looking for significance and fulfillment, it's in the wrong place. If we're fighting, if we're quarreling, there's a war within. If there's a war within, we do not have the contentment that God would have us to have. We do not have that joy. We do not have pleasure in God, because when we have those things, the world cannot take it away. We fight and quarrel with others because we are at war with ourselves. We ask God for help but do not receive his help because our motives are wrong, verses 3 to 5. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly. Some of your Bibles have "because he says your motives are wrong." I like that better than the ESV. We ask from wrong motives, to spend it on our passions. And again, don't let that word passions just think of some, it will automatically tie it to something sensual or something sexual. No, it's anything. It's these pleasures that we have. It's these pleasures that we have that we're taking illegitimate, we're trying to fulfill them in illegitimate ways. And it says, but you don't ask, it says here in verse, you ask and you don't receive because you ask wrongly. You adulterous people, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. I'm sorry, verse 2. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you don't receive. What that's saying is we don't ask, and when we do ask, we ask from the wrong motives, okay? And what this is speaking of, this friendship with the world, if we go back to chapter 1, we're going to see that next week in the following verses, it's that double-mindedness. See, we're trying to find our joy in heaven and on earth. Now, God will bring us in our earthly lives. We will have joy there. There will be pleasant things. There will be things of pleasure. But that cannot be what our heart is locked into. If it is, we will be fighting and we will be quarreling. The color of the carpet will be much more significant in our minds than it should be. The type of drapes or the type of shades or all of these things, they will be blown up much bigger in our minds than they ever should be, because all of these things are going to go up in smoke. And none of these things are worth fighting and quarreling with our brothers and sisters in Christ, or fist fights out on the lawn in front of the church. The war continues. The war continues until we submit ourselves fully to God. The war continues until we submit ourselves fully to God. We say, well, how do we deal with the war within? See, this is another identifier. If we, if we're fighting and quarreling, and again, don't let yourself off the hook. If that's your personality, if you're contending, say, why is that going on? Well, there's war within. Well, when will that war end? When will my heart quit being so misdirected? When will I stop locking onto the wrong things for happiness, that I would be happy if I could do this? I would be, see, earlier in this, okay, good, found my verse quicker this time. You desire and you do not have, so you murder. Now, what, when someone murders someone, and by the way, that this verse is a big discussion with the commentators. Could it possibly mean literally murder? some give that, there were Jewish zealots in the day. And Jewish zealots would act literally take you out, physically murder you. Most of the commentators believe that we should take this figuratively. I agree, it fits the context. And it fits what happens then in church dynamic, and it fits what happens in church dynamic now, is what do you do figuratively? But what, well, when you murder someone, what do? And then we'll project it to the figure. You get them out of the way, right? What else do you do? You shut them up. When you get them out of the way, you shut them up, don't you? You remove an obstacle. And that's what we do. That's what James is writing here. He says, you desire and you do not have. Well, what is that? You desire and you don't have because you have, someone is an obstacle. What do you do with an obstacle? You got to take it out. You got to shut them up. He says, so you murder. You covet and you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. Again, all of these things are identifying. There is no good reason for fighting and quarreling. Now, if we're speaking of matters of the faith, that's different. If we're speaking of someone says there's more than one way to God than Jesus Christ, we still don't step aside from the Christian life, but we will contend with that person. We probably shouldn't give them a knuckle sandwich, but we will contend with them. That's not the things that James is addressing here. James is not addressing doctrinal issues. James is talking about the natural way of things with people, because God is God and people are people, and we're going to see in a little bit the devil is the devil. But we have to deal realistically, right? We have to deal realistically. Do we want to know the picture so we can handle that, so we can move forward through 2016? Yes, we do. So we have to face head on. I don't know if you've ever been in a church, but I have, where you were not allowed to talk about problems. That's not the place for that. You know where you talked about problems? Somebody give me a guess. Got a guess, Shirley?
Coffee shop,
another one. Telephone. Now just think about how backwards that is. But that's how this church operated. You did not talk about problems from the pulpit. You did not talk about problems from your church, your open meetings. But it was okay to get on the telephone. And of course, that never went south, did it? You see how backwards we are? I think we want to move forward. This is how we move forward. We face the issue head on. Now, if we're fighting and contending, we've got war within, but we've got bigger problems than that. We've got two huge problems. Huge problem number one, God is opposing us. Huge problem number two, the devil is using us. It's right here in our text. It's right here in our text. If we go down to verse 6, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it said, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, see, we've just got another identifier. If you've always got to contend about something, if you're always fighting about something, if you're always nitpicking about something, quarreling about something, what else can we identify that is your problem? It's your pride. It's your pride. You got a war going inside because it's your pride. Just like it would have been my pride if I could just say, well, I think this is, you guys really, and you know, really, I did it jokingly, sit there and I wanted to make sure you realized I was joking, because I might have had two or three of you run for the door if you thought I was really trying to get new carpet in here. But I said something to the effect of, well, because obviously, you know, I'm more important than you because I'm me, you know. But isn't that really what we're saying when we insist on our way? When we push our opinion? When we don't listen to other people? And when we're really ready to take them to the mat if they don't acquiesce? Isn't that what we're really saying? My mom had and I put it in my loader. She had an 8.5 by 11 poster she showed me one day. She said, it said, I'm not a know-it-all, it's just that my ideas are better than yours. Isn't that what we're really saying? Let's just peel back the exterior and let God speak to us. And what do we say? Call sin, sin. And if it's our sin, then we need to confess it. We're people of God, and we're one holy race, and we've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, and we never want to forget those things. But we also don't want to neglect necessary things. Now, let me just say, before we finish this up, in verse 5, I just want to make a note on that. It says, or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us? Now, the people that I read, many believe, let's put it this way, that this is maybe the most difficult verse in the New Testament to translate. Because does it mean, is it speaking of the Holy Spirit within us? Or is it speaking of the spirit of man that God has put in us? And there's really, I have some really good commentaries, and these guys really know their stuff. And they wrangle with it, and they come back basically to, well, here's what I think probably. Let me, in doing all of that and in trying to have some kind of an answer for you, let me read that verse in the New Living Testament, because I'll tell you what, it really says it very well. I'm not saying this is the answer, because if these men like, who we talk about, Kistemacher, and Hendrickson, and Douglas Moo, and Kent Hughes, and if they're saying, okay, here's our best idea, Dave Scott is sure not going to say this is the way it is. But I think the New Living Testament really captures it. Verse 5, do you think the Scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate, that the Spirit he has placed within us, Spirit as in our spirit, should be faithful to him. Now, what that translation follows then is it's not speaking of the Holy Spirit of God, but it is talking about that Spirit. Now, if this is correct, and I'm saying if this is correct, and it could very well be speaking of the Holy Spirit of God, but if this is correct, it's a very, very powerful thought. God is jealous for your attention. Have you ever had someone in love with you that they're jealous about you? I have to admit, I've seen Carrie, I've jealous a time or two. I kind of like that. You know what I mean? Yeah, okay, here we go, boy. No dinner for Dave. But she maybe have seen me jealous a time or two also, but this is not about me here. But if you could picture, you are not nothing to God. It isn't take it or leave it whether you sell your soul to him, whether you give your all, it is something that you love him with your heart, your soul, your mind, your might. It is something to him that you are faithful to him, that you have complete allegiance and loyalty to him, that you are completely bowed before him in love and devotion. And when our heart goes over here and we find more pleasure in the world than God, I think that's what this text is saying. That God is jealous, not jealous in a sinful way like we may be jealous in a sinful way, but he is passionate. If you've trusted in him, Prophet Daryl, you've trusted in him, you are his. And he embraces us. Isn't that a powerful thought? That verse could be teaching that. There's the whole idea, though, is God is passionate, whether it's our spirit he's speaking of there or the Holy Spirit. God is passionate in his relationship with you and me. But what he tells us is then as we finish this, he gives more grace, verse 6. Therefore, it says, he opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So which will it be? Who's he opposing here? If you're fighting and quarreling, you might think that other, you not only are contending against that other person who you think is in your way toward happiness and fulfillment, but you're contending against God. That's because that's the battle within. Now, here's something really very revealing in this. One he opposes, the other he gives grace. See, this is the thing, folks. When you bow before God, you don't have to have it all together. You couldn't anyway. And if you think you do, you don't. But if you bow before God, he comes to you in grace. If we stand in our pride, he opposes us. Well, of course, we're going to have war within. We're contending with within ourselves. We're contending with God. God's opposing us. And it says, so submit yourself, therefore, to God. What's the next phrase? Resist the devil. What does that tell us? Well, I believe it tells us that in our pride, in our fighting, in our quarreling, in our not submitting to God, in our not finding that one place in the whole universe where we have victory over our pride, and that's bowed in humility before God, that we're not at that place. We're not resisting the devil. In fact, the devil is using us, and he's provoking, and he'll provoke. He doesn't care dispute between humans. He hates us all. He doesn't care who wins. He just enjoys it when Christians fight. So who are we bringing enjoyment to? See, we've got to see this darkness that, yes, even Christians deal with. They resist the devil and he will flee from you. Bow before God and he comes at you with his abundant grace. Stay in our pride. Go ahead and rationalize. Go ahead and make excuses for yourself. Go ahead and say how this one's really important, but they're not before God. Sorry. Nothing is worth the contending, the war, the fighting, and the quarreling. Let's pray. Father, thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for your word. How we thank you for your word. I'll say it again, Lord God. Thank you for your word of truth. Thank you for Faith Fellowship Church of Tennessee, Illinois. Lord, I believe we've got the right stuff, that you're moving in our midst. Show yourself, Lord, in our midst. Show yourself powerfully, your light, your holiness, your goodness, your love, and your grace. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.